Hey friend, welcome to the Grief to Great Day podcast. Do you feel like you're going crazy? Is the shower the only place for you to really cry? Are you surrounded by people, but you still feel all alone? Do you want to be the you were before your loved one died, but you have no idea how to get there? I'm Steph Cabanis, Southern by choice, wife, turtle triathlete, Jesus follower, and fellow traveler in the journey of grief. I too struggled to breathe, questioned God and my faith, and thought I would never be happy again. But God took my brokenness and He turned it into a breakthrough. So if you're ready to understand how to navigate grief, lean into your faith, and take just one step towards healing, then bring your ugly cry, get into a comfortable place, even if that's your bed right now, and let the healing begin. Girl, there's hope for your future. Come on in the house and join me on that couch. I'm Steph, and this is Grief to Great Day. Thank you for being here. I know this is a podcast you did not want to have to search for, but I hope you always feel welcomed and heard through these episodes. Grief to Great Day is downloaded in over 100 different countries in almost all the continents. This should tell you that you're not alone as you walk out the hardest journey of your life. And it tells me that there's a need to talk about grief from a Christian perspective. If you're listening for the first time and you wonder who Monica is, well, she's the reason that Grief to Great Day exists. She died within 6 months of being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, but her faith journey changed my life. It changed me. Her story could change you too. So if you want to learn more about dying to be healed, the book I wrote about her crazy faith and undeniable fortitude, go to my website, grief2greatday.com, and click on the book tab. In this podcast, we talk about understanding grief. Like, it's not just about being sad. We talk about how to get through the day when you got nothing left and how to grow your faith, even if you don't want to talk to God right now. So if you're just starting your journey, please know that life will change. It won't always hurt like this. It's important for you to grab a hold of that. So I'll say it again. Your life will change and it won't always hurt like this. This is not to say that you'll stop missing your loved one, because you won't. But you will be able to breathe, to laugh, and to live again. Have y'all heard that quote that says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength? Well, Corrie Ten Boom said that, and I saw another reminder about worry that says, worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things He can change. So let's think about those quotes for a minute so you can let them sink in. They're both true. But what does that look like for you today? Well, we're going to talk about that, and I'll give you a real-life example of what it looks like in my current life. And it's a disappointing example, and one I'm not necessarily proud of, but it's for you to know what not to do. Y'all, in my grief journey, I have been the queen of the why questions and also of the what not to do's. So this latest situation in life was a reminder to me that we are all works in progress, regardless of how far you think you've come. There is still room for improvement. My sister grew up in the same home I did, the same chaotic home with the narcissistic mother, the mother who was a pathological liar, manipulative and mean-spirited, and lived every moment of her life in her feelings or her emotions. This meant that if she was having a good moment, we all had a good moment. But that didn't usually last long, because then the bad moments came. When that happened, she would take it out on us. So I became attuned to reading the current emotion, to navigate it, and later to make it better. Making things better seemed to be my constant job. Now, I lived in a wonderful physical location, close to Washington, D.C. and Annapolis, but we also enjoyed fields and creeks and woods to wander in. We had a great neighbor who let us swim in his pool, and I was able to be out of the house most days in summer. But emotionally, I had to be mature quickly to help my mother by listening to her incessant negativity and complaining about adult issues. So it was not an easy childhood, but in many ways, my sister had it worse. Her and my interactions growing up consisted mostly of arguing and fighting physically. I told you I had anger issues. Unlike me, she did not have a relationship with our dad because my mother pitted her against my dad and also against me. Now, this looked like my mother lying to my sister a lot, telling her that my dad never loved her or that I would shut the door in her face if she came to visit because she's gay. This led to my sister not talking to me for 30 plus years. Now, one day about 8 years ago, she was back at my mother's house and answered the phone one day when I had called. It was so strange because it was like a light bulb had gone off for her, and she shared that she saw my mother's lies and manipulation. In those 30 years, I lived a lot of what you all have, hardships and losses. But I also had the best support system in Monica, who helped lead me to a real relationship with God because of her example in life, and more so, her example as she was dying. Also in those 30 years, my sister stayed connected to my mother financially and codependently. Her realization was difficult for her because she had to come to terms with truth over her feelings. And honestly, she's still coming to terms with what she thought her relationship was with my mother versus the truth of what it was. And our mother died 4 years ago. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of why she came to visit a few weeks back, but I will tell you that I was very disappointed in my behavior. See, way back in 1989, I felt like I didn't just move from Maryland to North Carolina, but I escaped it. That escape resulted in a mistake of a marriage and all the consequences of the decision of how I escaped. I've worked very hard in many areas of my life, and I survived the hardest season I've ever experienced when I was grieving. Life is so different now, and I know how blessed I am. However, her visit and the circumstances around it took me right back to living in Maryland. My greatest struggle with the visit was the fact that my sister, like my mother, lives by her emotions. So, 1 minute motivated, the next deflated. She told me she couldn't get healthy until 2 months from now when life won't be so stressful. Now, you just heard that, and I hope you thought that was ridiculous too, but sadly, I understand that thinking. It used to be mine. Is her life, my life, or your life ever going to be so smooth that there's absolutely no stress? No, of course not. And can you not act on one area of life while struggling in another? Yes, you can. And it's important for you to understand that living by your feelings will jack your life up. When I went back to college later in life, many years ago, my first degree was psychology. I chose that because I was so confused by what I saw growing up. I wanted to understand why. And I learned a lot. But honestly, that knowledge didn't change my life until I trusted God for the revelation around the education. So why was I disappointed with the way I acted? Because for no less than 3 weeks before the visit, I got stuck in my emotions about the visit and about why that visit was necessary. There were things I had to take care of that honestly I resented. On several occasions, I led Jeff and I down the road of that emotional eating thing. And though he went willingly, he did go willingly, I shouldn't have used food to make myself feel better. I jumped back into the why this and why that, and my attitude started changing. I had to figure everything out for that day, the day of the visit, and 5 years down the road. But what if this and what if that? And I began taking my frustration of not being able to figure it all out on Jeff. The week before the visit, we had a really difficult week in our relationship, mostly because of my emotions and partially because he hates confrontation, so he didn't want to confront me on my attitude. The night before the visit, we had the conversation we probably should have had 2 weeks prior. Everything he said was true, so there was no argument, but one thing he said really struck me and flipped a switch. He asked me who else would my sister have as an example of a good and God-led relationship. Ugh, I hate and love those light bulb moments. The two things I know at a deep level since and because of grief is that living by your feelings is a one-way trip to misery, and that everything I worry about and talk about and try to figure out would be better given to God. I could have freed my heart and my time up if I had just trusted it to God instead of trying to fix things that are not in my control to be fixed. What worry brought me was my old self-sufficiency, where I turned inward, try to find the answers or solutions by myself. Worry made me tired. Y'all, you know, it's exhausting and irritable. You can ask Jeff. What I could have done, though, was just to be an example by the way I live my life, by leaving the outcome to God and living my life fully connected to Him. Jeff and I were talking one morning after she left, and I told him the irony was that what drives me crazy about her is that she lives by her emotions, because I want her to experience some peace and purpose instead of riding a roller coaster of being up and down and feeling like a victim to any and all circumstances. I think about how life could be so much fuller for her. Yet, and here's the irony, I did the same thing around just a visit. And like my sister's health journey, there's no need to wait months to start getting healthy, to start taking steps in your journey of getting out of bed, getting out of the house, whatever it is for you that seems daunting. Because it's important for you to understand that pain, it's going to be a part of your life for the foreseeable future. But it's also okay to move forward, to get healthy, to start enjoying the small things in life that you still have while you navigate the pain and the questions. Life is always going to have challenges. And like my anticipation of the visit, worrying about it took me to my old habit of trying to figure it out and fix it instead of just giving it to God, who is the only one who can make meaningful changes in every situation. It reminds me of the culture we're living in. We've gotten to the point where we worry about feeling so much that we call a lie truth to make sure no one's feelings are hurt. We're told to make ourselves happy and that we all have our own personal truth. That by itself is a lie. And not to get political, but we are now encouraged to identify as everything we are not because of, yes, feelings and emotions. For you today, walking through grief, the absolute hardest emotional, physical, and spiritual situation you will walk through in life, try to separate the facts of what you're going through from the emotions of what you're going through. Easy? No. But take your worries, your fears, your questions, everything that's in your head and in your heart to God. Can you imagine if we just talk to God as much as we try to figure it out? Worry, it's a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about the things He can change. The word of the week is, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displays worry at the center of your life. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Y'all remember to check out Coffee and Kathy, our weekly devotional on Thursday. Join the Facebook group if you haven't already. And if you don't have a church home, visit my church, opendoorchurch.com. Everything you need, all the links you need are in the show notes or on my website, which is grief2greatday.com. There are resources for you, both free and paid. Remember, you are going to have to take steps that are uncomfortable. You're going to have to push, and you're going to have to balance that with knowing when to rest. That's what makes it so hard. And here are some ways to push. You can join the Facebook group. The Facebook group is also where we will have monthly challenges and prizes around your physical health. Why? Because it's going to help you mentally and spiritually. And this is my year to complete a goal of Monica's and mine while changing the last thing I've wanted to change since she died. Join the group now. I promise you'll feel welcomed and supported in a way that other people who haven't been through this cannot. And we will always, always point you to the great physician and true healer. You can find the link in the Grief to Great Day website or in the show notes. Another way to take a step towards your healing is to purchase and complete, that's the important part, complete the workshop called The First Year of Grief, How to Survive with Hope and Heal. If you continue to struggle with where to put your energy in the first year of grief and know that you have to take some action towards your healing because no one else can do it for you, purchase this workshop. I'll walk you through the four most important actions to take right now after your loved one has died to help you deal with and heal from the loss. Buy this workshop for your journey or for someone you know needs direction. Remember to check out Coffee and Kathy, the Grief to Great Days devotional only episode each Thursday this year. If you don't have a church home, giving you lots of options here. If you don't have a church home, visit my church, opendoorchurch.com. Links to everything you need, yes, are in the show notes and also on the website, grief2greatday.com. And if the Grief to Great Day podcast has helped your journey in some way, please leave us a review on iTunes. It's the best way to help us reach more women who are hurting. Don't forget, you're not alone. This is not your forever, and God has plans for your life. Keep coming back to the house, keep sitting on the couch, and keep taking steps towards your healing. Thank you for being here today, for showing up. If this podcast has given you hope, encouragement, or helped you in any way, share it with a friend, either in a text or on your social platforms. Also, please subscribe, rate, and leave a written review on iTunes. It's a huge blessing for me to know that you're out there. Lastly, and this is important, you are not alone. Connect with me on the Grief to Great Day website, the link is below, and sign up for our free newsletters. I want to be able to pray for you by name. Remember, grief isn't something you're going to get over, but a great day is something you can get to.